It was early on Sunday morning, just after sunrise. The agonizing wait for the Sabbath day to finish was finally over. The restless, sleepless night was over. Now at least they could do something, even if it was only caring for the dead. This had been a hard week. Friday had been a hard day. And now it was Sunday. Time to get busy. So early in the morning, they went to the marketplace. They purchased the required embalming spices and they walked to the tomb. These women loved Jesus. Their devotion was evident. Their adoration was evident. But it was adoration of a dead Christ. The women were looking for a familiar, loved human body. Their familiar teacher, their familiar leader, their familiar friend. They were looking for the Jesus they had always known, the only Jesus they had known. You know, there's a little bit of that in each of us. We would rather cling desperately to the familiar than venture into the new and unknown. We would rather seek the Jesus we have always known than follow him to places as yet undiscovered. We would rather seek him in the temporal because the spiritual can be bewildering, confusing, challenging. But Jesus has news for us. That's why he sent his angels. Throughout the scriptures, angels have come to us as messengers, as encouragers, and as signs. This young man, the angel in the white robe, would have confused the ladies to start with. He's not who they expected to find. This was not the situation they had prepared for. But the news, he has risen, he is not here, got their attention. In Luke, the angel also says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for what you have always looked for? Why do you look in the expected places?" It's an important message. If we look towards a dead Jesus, we can expect a dead faith. We do not worship a dead God. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He is alive. He is active. But if he's not dead and he's not in the tomb, where is he? The scriptures say he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. He's going ahead of you. There you will see him. He is going ahead of you in your planning. He is going ahead of you in your preparations. He's going ahead of you in your problems when you start to look for a living Jesus, an active Jesus, an involved Jesus, not a dead Jesus, not a memory of Jesus. In our passage, the women and disciples were told to go to Galilee, and it would be there that they would find Jesus. But look and see where Jesus actually turned up. For Mary Magdalene, in John 20:15-16, the angel spoke to her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." In her despair, Jesus simply called her by name, Mary. Mary found Jesus in her despair and grief. In Matthew 28, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasping his feet, and worshipped. For the women, Jesus met them amidst their busyness. They had things to do. And amidst their fear, and amidst their joy. Now, what about the disciples? The men who hid themselves in the upper room with the doors locked. Let's face it, guys, the women were at least doing something. Most of the men shut themselves away in the upper room. They were scared, confused. They really didn't understand. Yet in that place of fear, in that place of confusion, there was Jesus. He came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." What about the men on the road to Emmaus? According to Luke, their faces were downcast. They were depressed. They were defeated. Their hope had been stolen away. In their place of depression and hopelessness, Jesus came to them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened. What about Thomas? You know Thomas the cynic? There's a bit of that in me. Maybe someone else here is a bit cynical. He was a bit of a pessimist. He was the negative one of the group. Thomas was the one who did not believe. Yet amidst his disbelief and cynicism, Jesus said to him, "Stop doubting and believe." And what did Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." This very first Easter is not too different from this Easter. There is grief and despair. There is passion for Jesus. There is fear. There is joy. Confusion and lack of understanding. There is depression, defeat, hopelessness, cynicism, pessimism, busyness, doubt, disbelief, and joy. So many varied and mixed emotions. When I was working in aged care, having to wear PPE gear, masks and shields and things in aged care, it was a fairly dark and stressed and anxious environment. So one of the ways I tried to minister to our workers and to our residents was to upgrade our shields just a little. Does anyone know what an emoji is? Yeah. So an emoji is a very simplified expression, isn't it, to communicate something. So I grabbed a whole lot of emojis, laminated them so that we could wipe them down, popped them at the sign-in desk, and each day staff would choose the emoji that best suited how they felt. And that communicated to each other, and that communicated to our residents quite easily. They were able, if they came in tired, they would put a few Z's on their emoji. If they came in happy, they would have some different expressions, wouldn't they? So they were able to communicate the mixed emotions. Sometimes they would change their emoji during the day. And I heard stories of residents being ministers of great joy to the staff by asking them about their emoji and sometimes changing how they felt. This Easter, what's your emoji? If you just take a moment and think about what your emoji might be. And from Good Friday, when your emoji might have been sad, on Sad Friday, Nazi, to today where it may be, you might be tired because the Easter Bunny came very early and made a lot of hopping noise. You might be stressed because you're thinking about the workload on Tuesday. There's a whole range of different emotions. Like that first Easter. And like that first Easter, these are unprecedented times with unexpected events, triggering a range of different emotions and feelings. But Easter is not just a feeling. On the very first Easter, the angels came. They came with a message. That message hasn't changed. And it's not just for Easter. He is risen. Jesus is alive. He is going ahead of you. Follow him. So what do we do with that? Might I suggest that we do as the early witnesses did? Tell everyone. The early witnesses just couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to tell the good news. They couldn't keep quiet, and nor should we. Our words, our actions, our lives can speak of the truth of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus lives. Happy Easter.